Back with you on the Saturday morning scramble here on ESPN Upstate 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 97.7 FM in Greenville, anywhere in the world on the radio.com app. Cole Bryson alongside Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald Journal. We would now bring in our second guest of the program. That would be the head football coach of the Woodruff Wolverines, Coach Bradley Adams. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. Congratulations on the big win last night, Coach. Now that you've had a night to sleep on it, your thoughts on the win over Chesney?
Well, I mean, I've mentioned before earlier, you know, we feel like, you know, Chesney does a really good job of what they do. They're very much improved football team. And, you know, we've got a lot of things that we've got to work on. We've got to continue to improve. You know, from within our team on some certain areas. But at the end of the day, we were just thankful we found a way to win last night. We faced a lot of adversity, you know, just in different types of situations that we had to go through. But thankfully, we were able to pull out a win.
Coach, in your opinion, how different was Chesney this year than when you saw him last year?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing for them is they're running this, you know, running the offense that they're running. It really controls the clock and really limits the possessions that you actually get, you know, on offense to be able to score points. So, yeah, that was the biggest thing is they would keep the football and just really control the game.
Coach, in talking to a couple of guys who were there last night, they said you leaned a little bit heavily on the rushing game and ran the ball really well. And I know when we talked earlier in the week, you were happy with the way the running game was progressing. What did you see last night that encouraged you?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that I saw was just that the fact that, yes, we can run the football, but yeah, at the same time, I don't want us to rely so much, you know, on what I call just really shot plays, having to score. And I felt like, again, it's just that we lost our kicker last night for a time, you know, for a small little injury he had, and we just lost our punter. We lost our guy that kicks off, and you know, just like I said, just some really crucial situations that, you know, we got down, you know, going in with a new quarterback, and a lot of new things happened out there. We got down in the fourth quarter, and we were just still able to respond and find a way to come back and win. Anytime you can do that, you know, it's a situation that you have to go through at some point, and we just chose the very first ball game to do that.
To be able to do that and to find some leadership and to find some will to put some of those things aside, that's got to be encouraging, especially the first time out. How are you going to build on that now?
Well, I mean, we're going to definitely let our young men know that, you know, we're proud of how they responded to the fact that we got down. And you know, at the end of the day, you have to approach every football game with the mentality that you got to come out and play, and you got to play the whole game. And at times last night, we just didn't play up to our potential. But to be able to still find a way to win, and you're not playing your best football, is something that we're just, you know, we're going to let them know that sometimes that's going to happen. And when that does, you still got to, you know, you got to find some type of way to put something together when it really matters. And last night, you know, I thought like, or we felt like defensively, when it really mattered, we made two crucial stops. We had a muff punt there that the ball game could have really been put away. And we stepped up on defense and made that critical stop there that really, you know, helped us to put the ball in the end zone there to tie the ball game.
Coach, when you talk to your team this week, recapping last night's game, one or two things that you really want to see this team improve on?
Well, one of the biggest things I'm going to keep from within our team, but the other thing is just execution. The execution part is something that we did not play very good football at all last night, guys. It was probably the worst football game we've played since I've been at Woodruff, and it's definitely not something we're proud of. That's not taking anything away from Chesney, because man, they do a great job, but we just didn't play, you know, to our level of potential when it comes to execution. And it's something we've got to work on. And, you know, like everybody said, as a coach, it's week zero, and you know, you're never going to be perfect at this particular time right now, and we definitely have a lot of work to do in the execution area.
Coach Bradley Adams joining us on ESPN Upstate on the Saturday Morning Scramble. Coach, after last night's game, you talk about how you need to improve, obviously, but when you look ahead to week one, what are some things that you take away as positives when you look at next week's matchup?
Like I said, positively is just, you know, being able to find a way to win when you face these moments. Because like I said, there's so many different teams that don't know how to win when this happens. But we found a way to do it. You know, also positively that we've got some talented players out there running around, and those guys, Amari McKelvin, and you know, Shamar Dendy, when the time came, you know, if you heard from people that were there, they stepped up in those moments and were able to take over the ball game there at the end of the fourth quarter. So those are two really, really positive, and you know that you can put the ball in those in your playmakers' hands and they'll make plays when it really matters. And they did it. And also, you know, we felt like B.J. Bailey, our quarterback, you have to understand, too, that this is this young man's first start ever. He never, ever took a snap as a starter at Woodruff, and he's a senior, you know, with Keegan being there for all those years. And, you know, like I said, you're being down 7 points or 6 points, and this guy, he just comes out and he responds, and that's just great on our part as a coach to know that we know he can do it.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck in week one. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you guys so much for all you do.
Thanks, Coach. That's Bradley Adams, the head football coach of the Woodruff Wolverines. And I tell you what, Jed, I love the honesty. I mean, he's, you know, it wasn't a good game. We won. We found a way to win. And a good point about his quarterback is his first start as a quarterback, especially on a Friday night. That's a lot different. We've talked about that. Someone that also had their first start last night that I want to talk about a little bit was Raheem Jeter.
Yeah, and you had a firsthand look at that show.
Let's go off the word look. He doesn't look like a freshman.
No, he does not.
Warming up, you know, we walked down to the field pregame. He's big, and he's got the body of a junior or a senior. So.
Right.
Raheem Jeter last night was 16 of 32, 170 yards, did not complete a touchdown. But listen, I told Lane Fowler, my color analyst, before the game, I said, I think there will be spots tonight, times tonight, when Raheem, you're like, wow. You know. But there will also be times when you say, oh, he's a freshman. And there were. That's exactly how it played out. There were several times where Raheem made plays, and you're like, oh, he's going to be good. And then there were times where Raheem made plays, and, you know, he's 15.
Right.
So, I mean, what can you say? But, listen, the potential is there. I know he's got offers from everyone in the books just about, but he is going to be very good. And this is not a shot to him. But last night in the Burns game, quarterback position was Greer's weakest link. And if Raheem can just get comfortable and get settled in, listen, this Greer team is going to be very good. And also, not only is it your first Friday night, you're going against Burns in your first game ever.
That's what I was going to say. When your first time under the lights is against the Burns Rebels in a rivalry game.
Congrats.
And they're coming after you. That's a lot to ask of anybody, much less a true freshman in high school. He's going to be, from what I've seen, he's going to be fine. And I saw him last Saturday morning. And like you said, there were moments of brilliance.
Right.
And there were moments of not so great because he's a freshman. He's still learning.
Yep.
And talking with Coach Drummond, Greer's quarterback's coach, earlier in the summer, that's one of the things he said. He said, we're bringing him along. People are expecting a lot. He's capable of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People got to remember he's a kid.
Yes.
He's learning. He needs some experience. And I think, you know, the only thing better than a freshman quarterback, one of the best upsides of a freshman quarterback is a sophomore quarterback who started 12 or 13 games.
Yeah, the year before. And
or more.
That's what you're
going
to have.
Yeah. That's definitely what you're going to have.
And for 4 years, you know, if he stays at Greer, Greer's going to be just fine.
Absolutely.
Listen, last night, and we'll have some highlights from the game for the Burns side of it, for Burns when they found the end zone 5 times, but touching on Greer. Greer's defensive line, Jeff, was last night. I raved about it on air. They were phenomenal.
They can fly.
They were so good.
Yeah, they can fly. That whole front seven can fly. Ja'Kari Kearns and McXavian Holly up front especially.
Yep.
Or they're as good as you'll find in the area, mm-hmm. probably in the state. They're unbelievable.
They'll win a lot of games this year because of the defense. Now, you know, if Raheem settles in and gets comfortable in the system, I think he will develop this year, and you'll see a lot of growth. Now, this is a team that has Spartanburg. So it's a team with Spartanburg that's still trying to find their identity on offense. So maybe this is a chance this week for Raheem to kind of take a step and improve a little bit.
I think it's going to be a really intriguing game because if you point to where Spartanburg's the best, it's back end on the defense.
Yep.
Both teams will have young quarterbacks in their second starts who are coming along. Both teams will have to try to find an answer in the running game. I think Greer's a little bit ahead of Spartanburg that point.
I think so.
I think defensive line, you got to give Greer kind of the advantage there.
So good.
Defensive backfield, I think, is a wash because Greer's got three of the four starters back there. As good as Spartanburg is, Greer's equal.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a good game.
I do, too. Let's listen to how the Burns Rebels found the end zone last night. We heard from Reggie Shaw the very first quarter. Lawrence Scott connected with Braylon Johnson, who you'll hear a lot of. I told everyone last night, Scott to Johnson, you better get used to that. 16 yards for the first touchdown of the night.
Second and 7, ball on the 16. Lawrence Scott has 5 on the clock, drops back. A nice shot touchdown down the middle of the field, and it is going to be caught. Yes, it is a touchdown. He dropped the ball, but they say he had possession long enough.
Did you see the video of that?
I haven't seen it yet, but my favorite thing in the world is the ball is obviously still in the air, and Fowler says touchdown.
Here's the deal. He caught the ball, and, I mean, he kind of did one of those where he was hit and hit a foot, and the ball was gone. So Lane said touchdown, as soon as he said touchdown, the ball came out.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, no, and sure enough, the ref said touchdown. So, you know, Burns will take it.
But
it was a little hairy, be honest.
Let's just say it's week zero for everybody because, boy, the guys I saw last night. Whew. Anyway.
Still week zero. later on in the second quarter, Lawrence Scott completed the pass to Rajay Harris for a 59-yard touchdown.
Three receivers right, two to the left. Scott, all by himself, empty backfield. Here's the snap. Another quick pass left side. It's going to be Rajay Harris. Catches it, breaks a tackle, puts his head down.
Go,
he's
Rajay.
Going to the 40, the 30, the 20, 10. Rajay Harris finds 6 for the Rebels. No flags. Rebels take the lead.
Rajay Harris. I mean, you talk about someone. When he has open space and he has the football, you better watch out.
I imagine him. I've never been a linebacker. Obviously, you could look at me and tell that. But I imagine Rajay Harris headed downhill is one of the scariest things you can imagine.
200-plus.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's ridiculous.
Later on in the second quarter, Rajay put it in from 1 yard out.
Here's the snap. Rajay Harris gets it, lowers his shoulder, fights hard, and he finds Pater. Touchdown, Rajay Harris. Touchdown, Burns Rebels.
I told you would hear Lawrence Scott a lot to Braylon Johnson. You heard it again in the fourth quarter, this time for a big 40-yard touchdown.
Lawrence Scott, low snap. He's going to throw deep. Is that
wide
Braylon?
Open.
It is going to be called for a Burns Rebel touchdown. Touchdown from Lawrence Scott to Braylon Johnson. The Rebels add to the lead.
And Jed, we talk about, before we get to this last play for Burns, the last scoring play, we talk about the legs of Rajay and Mike Jenkins, but I don't think people realize how good Lawrence Scott is running the football.
Right.
I mean, he is just so talented. He had a lot of big runs last night. One for about 35 that got called back. But when he has the ball and he's running, he's very fast.
Yeah, he's fast. He's not particularly elusive, but he's fast and he's powerful. He doesn't look to run away from people. He looks to bury people.
Yep.
And that's a different mentality for a quarterback and one I like. Michele Colasurdo at Chapman is pretty much the same way. They're both looking to dish out a little punishment if they can.
And we saw it last night. He lowered his shoulder several times. This touchdown, he kind of got spun around. Here's a Lawrence Scott rush for 10 yards for a Burns touchdown, the last one of the night.
Here's a snap. Scott, plenty of time. Rolls left. He's going
to
carry it, and he's going to dive. What a dive. Wow. All the way into the end zone. Lawrence Scott shows off his guns when he gets up. Touchdown, Lawrence Scott. Touchdown, Burns Rebels.
That was how the Burns Rebels found the end zone last night. You heard that game right here on ESPN Upstate. On the other side, Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald Journal. We will look at the rest of the games that happened last night. Get your thoughts as well. You can call in 844-477-ESPN, the Health Dare text line. Text 71307. Start your message with ESPN. More scores and analysis from last night's game coming up next. Back with you on the Saturday morning scramble, ESPN Upstate, Cole Bryson, joined by Jed Blackwell, the Spartanburg Herald Journal. We will have the head coach of the Chapman Panthers, Mark Hodge, in about 5 minutes on the program. He will talk about the big win last night over the Union County Yellow Jackets. Let's hit some scores. Nation Ford defeated Spartanburg last night 20-6. That was my surprise of the night, if you will. Burns on top of Greer 33-8. Dorman squeaks out one over Wade Hampton, 58-7. Chapman, 53. Union, 37. Woodruff takes care of Chesney by a very close margin, 20. Is that 28-20? Is that right?
Yep.
Woodruff over Chesney.
Yep.
Broome gets their first win, week zero, 20-14 over Central. A close game there. And the Landrum Cardinals and Jason Farmer's squad fall to the Tigers of Blue Ridge, 35-14.
I'm going to brag on Broome for a second.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go to Patient Central and get a win.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go down there to begin with. That's a trip. Marcus Lindsay had a fantastic game for the Centurions last night. He was a walking 14-point swing for the Centurions.
That's big.
He had a pick six and another interception in the end zone. So he provided seven and stole seven. That's a big night for him.
No doubt.
KJ Morgan did some good things his first night at quarterback. CJ Littlejohn was CJ Littlejohn, which is to say a human wrecking ball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good win for Broome.
A very good win for Broome to start off the season. Also a game we hadn't talked much about, Dorman 58-7 over Wade Hampton. Now, Jed, you and I both know Wade Hampton's not good. Let's just be honest.
Right. They're coming along.
They're coming along. That's two different cultures. You know, Wade Hampton and Dorman. Dorman obviously tears Wade Hampton apart. There are people who are going to overreact and say Dorman's loaded, but at the same time they had the chance to be very, very good. Do we overreact on this one and say Dorman is better than we thought they were, or do we say it's Wade Hampton?
I don't think you can react any way at all, because I think you and I are in the same boat this morning as Coach Gutchall is.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't learn anything about Dorman last night.
Right. I mean,
they scored in their first two offensive plays. Their kicker had three touchbacks in the first four and a half minutes of the game. We learned that when they're in a good situation, mm-hmm. they can execute and do the things that he expects them to do. But mm-hmm. as far as adversity, as far as how you handle a little bit of stress, as far as how you handle a little bit of pressure, we didn't learn anything about Dorman last night.
Nothing.
And I think this next couple of weeks, we're going to be in the same boat. We're not going to learn much about Dorman, because York got destroyed last night.
They did by
Clover. I've seen Northwestern in a scrimmage. I'm not high on Northwestern either. I think it's going to be a few minutes before Dorman mm-hmm. learns much about Dorman.
Who is Dorman's first region game?
Let's see. Hillcrest. I think it's at Hillcrest.
And, you know, Hillcrest is good, but you're right. It's going to be a little while. I mean, Hillcrest.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm pulling it up now. Dorman, as we talked about, had a win over Wade Hampton last night. Then they play York next week. They're at York. September 6th, they host Northwestern. Then they're off
mm-hmm.
bye week. Hillcrest is the first one.
All right, Hillcrest's first region game.
Then Bowling Springs. Then Spartanburg. So Dorman, I mean, we're just looking at – they are very, very good. Let's say that to begin with.
And based on what I saw last night, that's 6-0.
There's no doubt. I just was doing the math in my head. Yeah. That's six wins. There's no doubt. And I think, you know, Bowling Springs and Spartanburg, one of those teams could play them well. But it's – you know, the talent that Dorman has year in and year out, you're right. That's 6-0. Then they'll play Gaffney, Burns. Those two will be the toughest ones.
They have of the three who won the tri-championship last year, of the three who I consider to be heavily in the hunt this year, they have by far the toughest schedule as far – I'm not saying tough in terms of opponents. I'm saying tough in the way the schedule is stacked.
Yep.
They have that back-to-back.
Yeah,
and that's a tough ask from anybody.
And the problem is, like we talked about, they're not going to really learn a lot because, and I'm just going to be honest, my opinion is that the non-conference schedule is very weak. You know, it's
well,
just,
and it's not yeah, and it's not their fault.
It's not always been that way,
right? You know? And it's not much their fault because you put York and Northwestern on the schedule, you're expecting York and Northwestern.
Yeah, usually
not what in my opinion you're going to get this year.
Right. Yep. And it's a and when they scheduled that, like you said, they probably thought that both of those teams were going to be very good.
Right. Because Dorman typically is pretty ambitious with scheduling.
Yeah. Absolutely. On the other side, we will talk to Mark Hodge, the head football coach of the Chapman Panthers. We will talk to him about the big win last night over Union County, 53-37. We'll talk to Mark Hodge up next. This is a Saturday morning scramble on ESPN Upstate. Back with you on the Saturday morning scramble. We are keeping it rolling with your high school football coverage from last night's games. Cole Bryce and Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald Journal with you every Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN Upstate. We would like to bring in our third and final guest of the program. That would be the head football coach of the Chapman Panthers, Mark Hodge. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
We're good. We asked Reggie Shaw this earlier. Did you get any sleep last night?
A little bit, not a whole lot. Don't sleep much on Friday.
I didn't think you did, Coach. Congratulations on the win last night over Union. Now that you've had a little bit of time to think about it, your thoughts on last night's game?
If we can handle it, could be potentially a real powerful game for us, you know, because we kind of went across the emotional spectrum, and at times it was easy, at times it was hard, at times we were high, at times we were in chaos, and some, you know, some things we handled well and some things we handled very poorly. So, you know, for a week one game to be able to win and then come out and be able to, you know, praise certain efforts and then be able to, you know, hopefully point out and grow from some other areas, then it's yet to be determined, but super happy to win, but it's given us a great opportunity to actually grow moving forward.
Coach, when we talked earlier in the week, you talked about the pre-snap things that you had to do. In the first half especially, it looked like you were hitting a lot of those things. The offense in the first half was efficient to the point of almost scary. What did you see in the first half that you liked about your team on offense especially?
Well, the first quarter, we were kind of frustrated on offense. I thought we tried to do too much. You know, there were times that we had big plays or got first downs and had the momentum, and then we kind of did too much, and McKaylee checked out of a few plays, and we missed. And then, you know, when that happens, you go from, you know, moving fast and to now you're second 10 behind the chains. But it was week zero. You know, we didn't panic. We just kind of told him, said, look, man, let's try to keep the thing moving. Let's get in some rhythm. Well, later on, some of those checks he hit, you know. So, you know, there were some big plays later that, you know, that he made that we didn't make early. So that was the big thing early, is just keep it moving. And I didn't think we did that well, but I thought the more we played, the better we got at that.
And then defensively, had two takeaways early in the first half. One of them set up a score. That's got to be something positive to build on too, because y'all were flying around, flying to the ball. You mentioned chaos earlier. You don't mind chaos sometimes.
We try to, you know, it's that cliche of, you know, walking up to the edge, you know, swinging your foot over it but never cross it.
Yeah. Right.
And that's kind of where we try to play, and we played there the first half especially. Mm-hmm. You know, even start third quarter, I thought our kids were real disciplined in their assignments and where they were supposed to be, and he made it tough. You know, we didn't give Glover too many escape routes, and he had to make, you know, had to play things out, and I thought we did really well. You know, once we got later into the third quarter, we got loose, and we got up the field, and we got tired and mentally tired and fatigued and kind of lost our composure a little bit as well. And I tell you, man, that kid there is phenomenal, because few, if any, other kids take what he took early and continue to play as he did.
Coach, when you were at the halftime break with your kids, 31-7, was there anything said, was there anything inside of you that said, okay, this Union team is about to come back and punch us in the mouth? Did you feel that coming?
No, not specifically, but you knew they would, because, you know, we've already, both games we played last year, we're up two scores or more.
Right.
With the opportunity to end it, and then, and really, he doesn't allow us to. And So it was a big question mark, was are we finally going to break him? And obviously we didn't. And but, you know, what we talked about at halftime was whoever's in the game, you have to play as it's an even game. Like, if you need to what I told him is, I said, when it's time for you to stop playing, you'll know, because we'll take you off the field. So if you're on the field, you're still supposed to play.
That's right. Coach, when you look at next week's game, you travel to Seneca. I know you hadn't had much time, but what do you know about the Seneca team?
Well, I know Coach Crane. You know, he's a good guy. Friend of ours, goes way back. I know that he's excited to be at home and you know, trying to put his stamp on things. And so there'll be a lot of similar type schematics. You know, we're kind of all coming out of that same cloth and spread offense. So it should make preparing fairly easy. Just because we just kind of get to call our own plays in preparation. The hard thing right now, I'm trying to figure out who's who on the film. That's what I was looking at. They got two teams playing each other, look the same. But but he'll do a good job. You know, the advantage we have is we're 8 years in and he's 8 months in. So, and we played a real game and they have it, but that doesn't mean anything, because, you know, right, change comes excitement, and he, what an opportunity that, you know, he's going to be preaching to his team and his kids, and, you know, and they always play us well. I think we've played about six times in the last 4 years. So, you know, I look for it to be a good environment over, because it's at Seneca, you know, and they typically have a great fan base too. So, you know, just look for it to be a fun Friday night.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you joining us for a little while, and best of luck to you guys against Seneca Friday night.
Thank you, guys. I hope y'all have a blessed day.
You too. Thanks, Coach. Thank you so much. That's Mark Hodge, the head football coach of the Chapman Panthers, joining us on the Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate. You can get your thoughts in 844-477-3776. That's 844-477-ESPN. PN. Also on the Health Air Takes line, text 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Real quickly, before we go to break, let's hit the scores one more time for those that missed it. Nation Ford on top of Spartanburg last night, 20-6. Burns on top of Greer, 33-8. Dorman takes care of Wade Hanson, 58-7. Chapman over Union County, 53-37. Woodruff over Chesney, 28-20. Broome over Central, 20-14. And Blue Ridge on top of Landrum, 35-14. A couple of teams that were off this past week, so we may have a few more games. We will have a few more games this coming Friday night. But on the other side, we will look at some of those games and maybe tell you, if you're going to a game this Friday night, week one, where you should go. And we'll look at some of those games coming up as high school football continues and our coverage continues as well, right here on the Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate. Back with you. Final segment. Man, it went by fast here on the Saturday Morning Scramble. Last segment, we will look at games that are taking place just 6 days from now. 844-477-3776 is the number if you want to get in on this last segment. 844-477-ESPN. You can text 71307. Excuse me, Cole Bryson, Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald Journal. Let's look. Let's start with some teams, Jed, that were off last night. Boiling Springs hosting Westside. This is interesting.
Yes.
Due to the fact that Boiling Springs has had some personnel issues over the last couple of days. We won't go into details. But this is a very, for me, you tell me your perspective. But to me, this is a very unknown.
Yeah,
for both teams.
It's completely unknown. I've talked to a couple of guys whose opinion I respect about Westside, and they say Coach Early really, really loves his quarterback over there. He's really, really hopeful.
Well, last year you saw potential, you know, and Boiling Springs took care of that game last year, but you saw potential.
And ones versus ones in last week's scrimmage where I saw Boiling Springs, they look pretty good defensively against Greer.
Right, and they say defense is their strong point.
Defensively, they look pretty good. Allowed one score, but that was on a short field.
Yeah.
And Greer's other score was a defensive touchdown on the last play of the half.
Right.
And in any regular football game, it never would have happened because mm-hmm. Bowling Springs isn't forcing a throw there.
Yeah. Four quarters, yeah, it's different.
Right. You go and have down seven and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be, if it's strength on strength, if West Side strength is that quarterback that Coach Early seems to like, and Bowling Springs strength is defense, I think it's going to be a very compelling game.
Low scoring,
maybe. Yeah, it could be really interesting.
Gaffney also did not play last night. They will open up at home at the reservation when Greenwood comes to town.
Last year, Greenwood, I think, if memory serves me correctly, had negative 70-some yards in this game.
Whew. That's not good.
Penalties, turnovers, snaps flying overhead.
And Gaffney's just as good, if not better.
Yeah. we mentioned Caden Richards earlier, Jamari Littlejohn,
mm-hmm.
Gaffney's Shannon Rogers. That gives Gaffney a stud at all three levels of the defense.
Yep.
Offensively, Andre Lindsey and Stan Ellis are a kind of deadly combination.
Yeah.
Peanut Kirby, Brock said, was running the ball well last night. So
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it certainly is. People say Greenwood is considerably better. I say I'm going to need to see that first.
Big test to show that. Broome, who won last night, will play a team that won last night in Woodruff. This one's at Broome. Should be a good one.
Yeah, last year games could not have been more different. Woodruff blew them out in the regular season, and then Broome goes down and takes a 38-35 playoff win.
How about that?
Yeah, eliminates Woodruff from the playoffs on like a 40-some right. yard field goal late. Maybe even his time was expiring, but definitely late in the game. I think, you know, this is an old-timey Spartanburg County rivalry since they've been playing. They've played this one a lot. It goes back and forth. They were in the same region together for years mm-hmm. and routinely contested region titles when both were really good. I think it's going to – this might be the game of the week.
It could be.
In the county anyway.
Could be a good one. The Burns Rebels travel. They are two games on the road, their second one in a row, at Northwestern District 3 Stadium. Jed, I think Northwestern is not the same Northwestern they have been in the past.
When you have so much turmoil on the coaching staff and in the athletic department as a whole, it's tough to be.
Burns is very good. Northwestern's, you know, maybe an average football team, if we're just calling it honest. I think Burns maybe comes out a little slow, but I think by the end of the game, I don't think it's too close.
Yeah, I agree.
Chapman on the road at Seneca, as we talked about. Now, Seneca's pretty good. I mean,
they have been, and this game's had a ton of points the past several times.
High scoring. It was all them, and I think a couple years ago, Chapman saw him twice, once in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And
but in his time at Chapman, one thing I've noticed is it's not ideal for you if you get Chapman off a week that Coach Hodge feels like he needs to work on stuff.
Yeah, that's not good.
And
oh, by the way, they scored 53.
Right, that's generally not good for you. And that's the way I'm leaning right now.
That's tough. So Chapman has listen, like we talked about, their offense, man, it's just week in and week out. Who's going to stop them? Christchurch at Chesney. Chesney looking for their first win against Christchurch. I think they'll get it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be kind of a contrast in styles. I think Christchurch has gone more to that wide open stuff. I'm honestly not positive, but I know Chesney is running the triple and doing some things, being very physical on defense from what I was told last night, looking really flying to the ball, looking good over there. Yeah, I think Chesney puts this one away.
Dorman, we talked about. Didn't have any trouble with Wade Hampton. York's down a ton. We don't think Dorman will have trouble with York.
I do not. No.
just
that is all that I can say about that game that is relevant or true.
Don't think they'll have much trouble.
I think Dorman in a big way.
Yep. The Spartanburg Vikings will travel to Greer. Greer coming off of a loss to Burns. Spartanburg coming off of a surprising loss to Nation Ford. Jed, this is going to be an interesting game. I think it could go either way. I'm leaning Greer just because I saw Greer's defense last night and they were nasty.
We talked about it earlier, you know, kind of breaking it down even at different levels. And I still think – I think Greer's defensive line is what makes a difference.
Yep.
Now, if Zay Foster can do some things with his legs to exploit – if Greer gets aggressive, and like Coach Hodge was just talking about Chapman last night, if Greer gets up the field, I think Zay is capable of making some good things happen.
There's no doubt.
But if Greer's defensive line plays disciplined, I think they will be the difference.
Gaffney, we talked about, they have Greenwood at home. Landrum is home for their first time this season, hosting Dixie. will be interesting to see from my perspective, a Landrum team that lost a good bit, got beat by Blue Ridge, may seem a little down after that loss to Blue Ridge. Be interesting to see if they can rebound against a Dixie team that, you know, can be good at times.
Yeah.
But I think Landrum has a chance to win this week.
I definitely do as well.
Spartanburg at Greer, we talked about. Union County at AC Flora. Listen, we talked about this earlier. AC Flora, it's hard to say this, but it's their, in quotes, easier non-region game.
It's their bright spot in the non-region.
So if they're going to win a non-region game, right, it's probably going to be against AC Flora.
And they'll contend in a couple of the other ones, but this one, yeah, I think this one will go Union County's way.
Listen, when we look at the games last night, we talked about our surprises. These first couple of weeks, Jed, and those were the games that are happening next Friday, sometimes with non-region, it's hard to learn a lot in non-region. I think we have to sometimes wait till region play gets here. Now, it's good to see Dorman win by, you know, 51 point, whatever. It's good to see Burns win big, and Greer's good. Greer's a lot better than Wade Hampton. But, you know, some of these games you can't overreact because when region play gets here, it's a different animal.
Right. And you know, a lot of the blowouts, like I said, you didn't learn anything.
Right.
You know what you knew going in. One game in Greenville County last night that I want to focus on for just a minute, the Woodmont Wildcats.
Big 35 to 14
over Greenville. That's a huge win for Coach Jet Turner in that program. They're coming off a second place region finish. Did some things that gave Gaffney all kind of fits in the playoffs at the end of the year.
Yep.
I'm pretty encouraged by Woodmont.
Especially when you have heard a lot about, if you're a Woodmont, you know, if you're at Woodmont or a coach or a player, you've heard that Greg Porter's going to Greenville, and you've heard that Greenville's got all this talent. And, right, and for you to come out there and make a statement like that, I mean, that's big time. Listen, it's just Jet Turner's offense. You know, sometimes the first year isn't the best year. You have to get the players you want and kind of install it the way you want. And I think you're starting to see a little bit of gel come together.
And they've got a good group of seniors, got some good leadership over there, and they really played well last night.
So that's a very interesting game as well. As we said, several games last night were stopped due to storms. There were some lightning delays as well. But we will have a full breakdown next week. One more week continuing all the way through the end of high school football season. We'll do it again next week. Cole Bryson, Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald Journal, Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 on Saturday Morning Scramble. You can catch Burns at Northwestern next Friday night right here on ESPN Upstate. We appreciate you tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter, Saturday Morning Scramble, and we will be back next Saturday as high school football is rolling along. We have got out of week zero. Jed, we're now into week one. Makes sense.
Well, I think we were in week one to begin with, and we're headed to two, but
that's normal math.
That's just me and math. Who are we?
See you next week, Saturday Morning Scramble, live on ESPN Upstate. High school football, we'll keep it rolling right here, 8 to 10 a.m.